Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for Friday, June the 8th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you very much for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it Tucson's Intelligent Voice. It is also the strongest as far as range of any of the news talk stations in Tucson, all the way to the New Mexico border, up to Phoenix. We've got Southern Arizona covered from one end to the other. We stream our show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. We also have 24/7 anytime listening of our program at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com, all carrying our program. Our Friday Focus interview today is with famed Tucson restaurateur and chef Janos Wilder. Joining me to question Janos will be Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan will be here very shortly. If you have a question or comment, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also email us at BuckmasterShow.com or our growing Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. We want to thank over 2,100 friends now of the Buckmaster Show. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Joining me now in studio, Janos Wilder. Janos, how are you?
I'm terrific. How about you?
I'm doing real well.
You're happy here.
I am happy. That's we just great. Celebrated, as you know, our one-year anniversary. Yep. Last Friday was the one-year anniversary show, so this is week one, year two.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. You know a little bit about starting up businesses. I mean, you go all the way back to really the early 1980s in this community, and I remember moving back here after going to school in Tucson in the late 1960s. Shouldn't date myself, should I, Janos? But moving back here in 1988, first place friends wanted to take us was to this restaurant called Janos in downtown Tucson. How did you wind up in downtown Tucson with Janos?
Well, we were looking for a location. I had just moved here. I'd been working in France before this and Colorado before that. I'm from California, so I was ready. I was ready to start my own restaurant. I'd been cooking for many years already.
Cooking for other people.
Yes.
So it's about time.
It was time to
do my own
thing.
You own the action, right? Yeah.
So as we were looking for locations, and this was not – you know, we didn't have a big business plan or anything like that. It was really going from our sense of what would be the right place for us. And when we were shown that building on North Main next to Tucson Museum of Art, the old Hiram Stevens house, it took me about 30 seconds to know that was just the place we needed to be. The demographics weren't perfect. Or if you would have tested it and done all that, you know, done all the surveys, everything would have come up negative. But it was such a beautiful building with such integrity. I thought we could call that our home, and we worked with the museum to develop a relationship, and we opened there in October of 1983, and it turned out to be exactly that. It was a fantastic place for us to begin, and we were there for 15 years and really built our reputation there, and I really learned and began to create my identity as a chef there.
And then you moved to the Foothills, the most recent place for Janos, Janos and J-Bar at the West and La Paloma, the two restaurants there.
Yeah, we opened there in 1998. So I seem to work in 15-year chunks of time, I think.
You actually cooked and served your last final meals at the two properties at the West and La Paloma a week or so ago. What was the decision there to shutter those properties?
Well, a lot of things go into that. It's a big decision that to make a change like that. And it'd been 30 years operating Janos and really creating that brand and doing that wonderful high-end food there and another 15 for J-Bar. And at that time, we started looking at the business and also looking at other opportunities. And, you know, I'm not as young as I was when I started, and I wanted to really think what are the things that I want to continue to do in my life, and felt that it was a great time for a change, that there are new owners coming on to the Westin. They've got new plans to continue to revitalize that property, which are really exciting. But I thought, you know, this is a good time for me to close that down. I felt that we had drunk fully from that and taken advantage of every opportunity that we had in fine dining and really made a tremendous mark, and it was time to do other things. And so we had a number of conversations with the Westin, and they agreed that they were happy with that as well, and so we decided, okay, this is the perfect time to do it, as the end of the season, as we go into summer, and then start looking at the other opportunities that are available to us, and really for me and my family to start thinking of what are the opportunities the future brings, and time to change and really shake things up a little bit.
Janos Wilder is with us. If you would like to join in on the conversation, if you have a question or comment for Janos, 790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line, talking a little bit about Janos in Tucson, how he arrived here. He was over in France, and then he decided downtown Tucson would be the spot. It was, 15 years downtown, then up to the foothills about 15 years, now yep. Back downtown.
Yeah, we opened downtown again, and about a little over a year and a half ago in October of 2010. We've been there at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails on South 6th Avenue, and it's been fantastic. I really feel like I've come home again, which is really fun to be back downtown, and it's so different now than it was back 30 years ago. And back at that time, you know, we were the destination. It wasn't that people were going downtown other than, you know, the city and state and county workers to go to work. There wasn't a lot happening downtown, but we felt that we could create something of our own, and we did, and we're successful at that. But it's a completely different story right now. Downtown, as you were saying, is really undergoing a renaissance. It's fantastic. There's a lot of activity down there. There are lots of things to do down there, and we're not alone. There are a lot of restaurants down there, and good restaurants down there. And so the business climate down there has changed just dramatically over, you know, really not over the last 30 years. I would say over the last 4 or 5 years is when you've really seen the major change.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people that want to be opening restaurants, and I wonder sometimes are they aspiring chefs usually? Are these business people who let somebody else do the kitchen work? Or is it a combination of both?
I think it's probably a combination of both. It's hard for young people, and we were so fortunate back then to be able to get a start. But it's hard unless you have a real track record. Even back then, we had a track record. It just wasn't here in Tucson to make a go of it. And so you have to be somewhat established in order to do that, for people to take the risk and you to do that. So for aspiring chefs who want to open their own restaurant, they really, you know, you have to really buckle down and learn your craft.
You've got the business end of it, and then you're trying to be in the kitchen. And anybody who's ever seen these reality shows of what it's like, I guess, to be in the kitchen, I mean, it's a full-time gig in the kitchen, right?
I think they sugarcoat it even on some of those shows. It's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart, but it is really exciting. It's super rewarding, and it really gives you an opportunity to create something and really to bring joy and pleasure to people in a way that's very unique.
We're speaking with Janos Wilder here on the Buckmaster Show. It is our Friday Focus interview. Janos talking about his latest property downtown, the kitchen, Janos Kitchen and Cocktails. How about the concept for kitchen and cocktails? When you decided that you were going to go back downtown, what were some of the factors that you looked at in this particular concept?
Well, there were several things. The one thing that we wanted to do, and this was when we first started looking at it, was about 2 years ago, or even longer ago than that, and we were really excited about the prospects for downtown, and so we wanted to take advantage of being downtown and to really celebrate that. Therefore, the name is downtown. We want to celebrate something that had been sticking stigmatized for several years. And with the decor and the way the place looked, we really wanted a lively urban environment in there, and we really created that. And then I wanted to – the food that I wanted to do, I've been so steeped in the traditions of the Southwest, and that's right. What we've done for 30 years.
Using local ingredients wherever – I think you sort of pioneered that concept in southern Arizona anyway about sourcing locally.
Yeah, we've been doing that from day one. It's a really important part of what we do. But I didn't want to do solely the foods from this region. Of course, underpinning everything is the local ingredients, but I wanted to branch out from there. And I really wanted to look at a food of what is uniquely American food. And I wanted to do that in the most optimistic expression of who we are. And what has been the strength of America? We are a country based on immigrants. We are a country based that's built on everyone who's come here for new opportunity, because with hopefulness and optimism in the future in their hearts. And so the food that we do is truly American food, but it's through the eyes of the latest round of immigrants who have come here from around the world seeking the promise of America. And that promise we try to convey in the food. So it's foods from Southeast Asia, from Latin America, from the Middle East, from Africa, the wonderful flavors from around the world through the filter of America.
You know, when we return, we'll talk a little bit about herbs and the native seed search. Yeah. They're doing such great things, aren't they? I mean, incredible, bringing back some of these heritage grains,
absolutely,
I think they call them, that are really making having a second life thanks to native seed search. Janos Wilder is with us. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday Focus. We will return after we hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors. Stay with us.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday Focus on the program, and this edition of the Buckmaster Show is made possible by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Also want to tell you that this portion of the program made possible by our friends at Adobe House Antiques. This is a new sponsor for us, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. We really like this place. First of all, I love antiques, and I love the building. It's a Josias Josler-designed building from about 1947. Folks over there at Adobe House have fixed it up. Really nice, original tile, everything. That's 2700 North Campbell, just north of Plaza Liquors. Give Plaza Liquors a free plug there.
Yeah, they do a great job, don't they?
They do a great job. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. I know you like antiques.
Well, I do.
You do. So you might want to stop by and say hello to Penny, the owner. And I know you like architecture, and I know you like
– those Josler buildings are beautiful.
They are.
Yeah,
they really are.
Really part of the heritage here.
Janos Wilder is with us, famed Tucson restaurant owner, and joining us now on Friday Focus, Dan Scheer. He is the editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, good to see you.
Hey, how are you doing, Bill?
Got a question for Janos.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit off the air, and I want to pick his brain as a businessman. Because he's been so successful. And down in our area, Saharita Green Valley, roughly 50,000 people. We're right at the point where maybe we can bring in some big box stores, that type of thing. We have some wonderful restaurants in the area, including Tubac, Elvira's, Florentino's, Cow Palace, which has been there forever. What's it going to take, though, to bring in more of that? And I can tell you there is quite an appetite for it.
That's what it takes.
People.
Yeah, that's what it takes. It takes people with an appetite. And so when restaurateurs will see that as business people, they'll see opportunities. And when they feel that's ripe and enough to sustain them, they're going to be down there. As you say, you already have a number of really good restaurants down there. And
we do.
More will likely join. I wouldn't be surprised to see that at all.
If you were looking to put in a new restaurant and you were to look at that area, Green Valley, Saharita, what would you say thumbs up to, and what would discourage you maybe from going down to that area?
That's a good question. I'm not sure that I'm equipped to answer that question. I don't know the area particularly well, and so I don't have the knowledge to tell you what would make it or what wouldn't or what would encourage
you. But you do go down there. Your herb area is down there in Santa Cruz County, isn't it?
Yeah, some of them are.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, indeed. But they're much more rural.
Okay, yeah.
And so the farmers that we use are really not in any sort of the urban areas down there
But the Santa Cruz River Valley itself is
really the heritage center of Southern Arizona and the agricultural heritage of Southern Arizona as well. The River Valley has been where civilization started here. And in fact, the Santa Cruz River Valley is the longest continuously cultivated
4,000
region in the country.
Years. Yeah. Yeah. But Dan brings up a really good point, Janos, about what a restaurant owner looks at before opening a property. Let's talk about you had been downtown, so you knew downtown really from the 1980s, but what did you look at when the decision that you decided it is right to come back to downtown?
Well, I looked to see if there was going to be a population base down there that was going to support it. I looked to see where we thought we could draw from down there. And I also looked, and I think the thing that impressed me the most was that I saw activity down there. I saw a lot of momentum, a lot of enthusiasm, and I was convinced that downtown wasn't really in the process of becoming; it had become, and it is still. That's an ongoing process. But at the point that we made that decision, I thought we'd reach critical mass there already, and so that it wasn't a matter of if it was going to happen.
It was
happening.
So you didn't want to be in before that.
Well, not for
point.
The concept that we were doing. Initially, it didn't matter. Okay. We were doing something so unique that we would create the destination. Now, at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, it's the sort of restaurant that people can go to every day or once a week. It's not special occasion. It's a really moderate price point with the sorts of food that you want to have before the symphony or after, or that for casual night out or for a special occasion. So it's not quite a specialized restaurant that Janos was that really created its own destination. So we wanted to be, this time it was important to be something that be part of something that was larger than us.
the price point you felt is definitely was right then for downtown.
Well, for what we're doing, yeah. It's a really moderately priced restaurant, and that's important downtown at this point. And it's also not only important downtown; it's important in terms of the overall economy, in terms of how you price the restaurant. So being at a moderate price point was important to us and something that we looked at and allowed us to do a lot of things we weren't able to do at Yana's.
Here's Dan Scheer again from the Green Valley News.
Again, I want to come at it from a business standpoint. Down at Sarita High School, we have a terrific culinary arts program. I know Pima College does, and these things seem to have exploded all over the country. Are there jobs for all these people who are coming out of these programs?
Yeah, there probably are jobs for it because more restaurants are opening all the time. But I think it's really important for young people when they go into culinary arts to think about why they're going into it. You know, there's so much on the TV right now, and it's so romanticized, and everybody thinks
the
that they're going to be
reality shows in the kitchen, right?
They think they're going to be big stars, and really, we touched on this earlier. Working in kitchen is not romantic; it's hard work. It can be grueling work. It's tremendously satisfying work. But as you come out of the culinary schools, they're really preparing you for more or less entry-level positions. And then you have to work your way up. So for kids who are trying to get in there and they think they're going to reach stardom, well, they might, but it might be for 10, 15, 20, or 30 years before they do, and most likely they won't. And so it prepares them for a job, but not necessarily. So be careful what you're going into.
With the Rio Nuevo board shake up this week, did you have some thoughts about Rio Nuevo and the board, or do you try to stay away from the political end of things?
I try to stay away from the politics of that, so I don't know the personalities involved. I certainly am aware that they did have a shake up in the board. I'm certainly aware that it's been wrought with problems from the very beginning. I sort of look at it as lots of missed opportunities, and yet I don't think, certainly in my mind, it didn't impact my decision one way or the other about going in downtown. I think downtown is thriving, maybe even in spite of the problems that they have, certainly not necessarily because of the great things that have come out of it. As I said, lots of missed opportunities, but downtown is happening. It's alive. It's alive because people have cared and believe in downtown and have taken individual risks to go down there. And those risks are borne out because we certainly attract tremendous number of people to come down there. Downtown exists. The things that exist in a downtown in many cases are the things that there are one of in a community, like the theater, like the mm-hmm. symphony, like the opera. You know, those sorts of things are sort of are the catalyst, and around that, everything else begins to grow.
Yanos Wilder is with us. It's our Friday Focus interview. This is the Buckmaster Show. Dan Scheer is with me from the Green Valley News and Sarita Sun. Any plans to go back? I know you just left the foothills, but what about going back to the foothills?
Oh, not at this point. You know, we loved being up there. We were there for 15 years. It was a great opportunity for us and really a wonderful 15 years. I look at it extremely fondly. But I'm thinking we're focusing more around the downtown area in a smaller, you know, not necessarily mm-hmm. right downtown with another restaurant, but in sort of a shorter radius around there so we can concentrate and focus where
perhaps
where we are.
Like a destination restaurant in the downtown area.
Well, I don't think that we'll do a restaurant like Yanos again. That was fantastic, and we did that for 30 years, and I feel like I've completed that and feel great about it, and time to do other things.
Quick question from Dan before we wrap this up with Yanos Wilder.
Yeah, I came from Mesa, where they're trying to revitalize downtown like a lot of towns and cities are, and I saw a great restaurant after restaurant fail. Mm-hmm. Why are you sold on a downtown? Generally speaking, why should a restaurant really focus on a downtown?
Well, I'm not suggesting that a lot of more restaurants go downtown at this point. We're going to be at a saturation point.
Okay.
And we might be now.
Good
now
point.
At this point, downtown has to grow more. More residential has to come in downtown and in the environs. It's not just restaurants that need to be downtown and they can see there. It's all sorts of small business. It's dry cleaners. centers, it's grocery stores, it's pharmacies, it's what supports a population. And so downtown, because of its proximity to the universities, attracted those sorts of restaurants and night spots that attract young people, which is terrific. But we have a lot of other things going on downtown as well.
Janos Wilder, thank you very much for spending some time with us here on the Buckmaster Show, talking about what you are doing downtown and very successfully. We wish you all the best, Janos. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. To you too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Janos Wilder on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Dan Scheer will be with us from the Green Valley News, and Soharita Sun and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com will talk about the top stories of the week. Stay with us. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Mitt Romney says President Obama has made a big blunder by saying that the private sector is doing fine. Romney today pounced on the remarks made by the president during a White House news conference, saying it shows that Mr. Obama is out of touch. According to an activist in Syria, UN observers have been able to enter a remote farming area where a massacre was reported earlier this week. 17-year-old boy has pleaded not guilty in the shooting deaths of three students at a high school east of Cleveland. Health experts looking into a mysterious, scattered outbreak of the E. coli bacteria they say is linked to 14 illnesses and one death, that of a child in the New Orleans area. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 66 points, the NASDAQ trading 23 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
This is the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are on AM 1030 KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station and Tucson's intelligent voice. Time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who come onto the program to talk about the week's stories. Joining me in studio, Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. Dan is the editor of the papers. And Dylan Smith is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dylan is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, how are you today?
Great.
Good.
Sorry I couldn't make it in today.
Oh, that's okay.
Glad I can at least get here on the phone.
That's the wonderful...
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good.
That is the wonderful thing about radio, right? Get to a phone and we can get you on the air.
Exactly.
Dylan, why don't we begin with you? Let's talk a little bit about CD8. The big election is Tuesday. You know, so many people have already voted. It takes away, I shouldn't say it takes away the importance of Election Day. Perhaps it diminishes it somewhat. Would you agree?
Well, it certainly spreads out the task of trying to get out the vote for the various campaigns. You know, they have to, instead of focusing on getting people to the polls on one day, they're, you know, spread out over a month, essentially, of, you know, constantly trying to figure out who needs a ballot, who's got a ballot that needs to be turned in. It's, you know, I think logistically rather more complex these days. And speaking of turning in ballots, if people have a mail-in ballot that they want to get turned in, today's probably the last day you can mail it and actually have it count. It might not show up in time if you mail it later than this. You can turn them in on Monday at the recorder's office or at any polling location on Tuesday on Election Day.
Dan Scheer, what's your thoughts? What are some of your thoughts here right before Election Day?
Well, apropos of what you were just talking about, we know that Gabrielle Giffords will be in town this weekend, and my first thought was, well, she's a little late to the party because a lot of people have voted, probably most of them. The election, in essence, may already be over, not to discourage anybody, of course, from going to the polls on Tuesday. But overall, you know, up until about 2 weeks ago, I thought things were going pretty well, and then things got just very, just cruel almost. And it was just a reminder of 2010 and the Giffords-Kelly battle that just was just awful to sit through as a journalist and as a voter. And I'd kind of hoped that we wouldn't fall into that, but we're there, and I'm really disappointed in the candidates.
So civility just went out the window in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, and a lot of money, too. And you look at, roughly $2 million that they raised, and it's just astounding that it's just going basically to call each other names and half-truths and all of that is out there. And but I will tell you this, I think we're ending up with a very tight election.
Dylan, the Republican insiders say they have about a 2-4. They believe they have about a 2-4 point lead. On the Democratic side, they're saying that Ron will eke out perhaps a 1 or 2 point victory. Were you surprised Gabrielle Giffords did, as Dan Scheer pointed out, is coming sort of late to the party? She'll be at that event. It's tomorrow.
I think the thinking inside the Barber campaign was that they want to present Ron Barber as his own man, as a candidate who stands on his own and not as a replacement for Gabrielle Giffords. You know, that wouldn't be a good way to run a campaign. You could really beat up on him as a candidate if he were, you know, running as a placeholder, which he was somewhat termed early on in the discussion. He, you know, tried to get away from that idea and present himself as somebody who has his own ideas and his own take on how things should be voted on.
Well, we asked him about 2 or 3 weeks ago whether he expected her to campaign for him, and he said no, that she was really focused on her rehab, and anytime she broke from that, it really took her backwards. So when I heard she was coming, first of all, I was not surprised, but then I'm thinking, okay, is she bailing in at the last minute to help him out? Was this always planned? Why is she here? I agree that they wanted him to be his own man, and I think he's been very successful at that. He really knows the issues and has been impressive in that way. But why is she here?
I think that's something they probably, you know, kept in their hip pocket all along. And
sure,
they, you know, they want to get a boost in turnout on Election Day, and that this is something that might get some people jazzed up who otherwise might not. You know, this is a special election. Turnout is usually low in these things, and anything you can do to, you know, get people to cast another couple of votes. It's certainly for any campaign worthwhile to do.
Dan, let's talk a little bit about the Ray Carroll, Sean Collins primary. That's for Supervisor District 4, your area of Green Valley and Sahuarita. That's turned, speaking about throwing civility out the window, that's gotten pretty heated, hasn't it?
It is getting a little bit nasty. We had a story late May that Sean Collins, some of his campaign literature was, let's just say, inaccurate, and the county treasurer actually accused him of slandering Ray Carroll. And basically, it's a throwback to a 2006 travel claim that he made. He was trying to get reimbursed from the county, and she sent it back and said, "Hey, I need a few more receipts." It was as simple as that. Well, in his campaign literature, Sean Collins made it out to be that Ray was basically trying to pull one over on the county and wasn't very responsible. She went after him in a letter, and we wrote a story on that, and it has generated an awful lot of comments online. Sean Collins, frankly, looks bad, and he should, over this, because it was really all about nothing. And so this was him dipping his toe into that that awful mess of nasty politics, and he got his head bit off.
Dylan, all of the supervisors, of course, the supervisor district number one has the open seats. There are four Republicans there going against Nancy Young Wright, the Democrat, the winner of the Republican primary going against Nancy Young Wright. But Dylan, do you see this as kind of a, why are we seeing all of this opposition to the supervisors? Do you think Rose, it's an, becoming almost a referendum on Rosemont?
I think that has quite a bit to do with it. You know, the current board has not been very fond of the Rosemont line idea. Ray Carroll's been one of the main opponents of it, and he's a Republican. That's so you've got a lot of Republicans who are a little riled up about that and want to see some change. And Chuck Huckleberry hasn't been a favorite of some on the right wing of the Republican Party, and I think they would like to fire him. I don't know if there's any chance that they'll get enough votes on the board if they can win enough to make that happen. I don't see that happening.
Dan?
Yeah, Rosemont definitely is in play here, and it's a huge issue down where we are, and it has just never cooled off. And so people are looking at that, and Ray has been very consistent in his stand on that. And then Sean Collins has been out and about too, and of course one of his very unofficial advisors is Randy Graff, who is a consultant for Rosemont.
The big story, one of the big stories here in Tucson, Dylan Smith, Rick Grinnell, and Jody Bain were asked to leave the board. They were pretty much booted off the Rio Nuevo board and replaced by Fletcher McCusker and Chris Schief, a local developer. Some of your thoughts, Dylan Smith, is this going to make a difference in the direction of Rio Nuevo, in your opinion?
Well, we've got, I think the term of one of the people on the board is ending at the end of the month, isn't it? You had these two change. You had Jonathan Payton step down. Didn't somebody else resign recently as well?
I think there are
looking at an entirely new Rio Nuevo board.
Yeah, I think there are two vacancies. Dylan, I think even with Fletcher and Mr. Schief coming on board, I think the Payton spot, that's vacant, and I think there is one other. I think it was Carlotta Flores, El Charo,
I think
is leaving. I think that. So there are two more openings on the board. So definitely the board, the makeup of the board is changing. And you just wonder, is this the last chance for Rio Nuevo? I personally think it might be. What do you think?
It's certainly an opportunity to change the working relationship between the Rio Nuevo board and the city and see if they can't actually try and get something done. This last board was essentially in place for 2 years and, did a lot of shuffling of paper and, did that audit that, I think basically confused people just as much as they were confused before the audit was done. And nothing, what progress has been made in Rio Nuevo in the past, 4 years, really? Very little.
I will not ask Dan Scheer to comment on Rio Nuevo because Dan really is not following that story.
We try to ignore it from where we are.
One story that you are not ignoring, Dan Scheer, is a natural gas pipeline plan that is winding its way through the authorities. Does this have the potential of, a lot of opposition, kind of like the Rosemont situation?
You know, there is some potential there. This is a 36-inch buried natural gas pipeline. It's going to go from roughly west of Tucson down to the Mexico border. About 24 miles of it are going to go through the Buenos Aires National Wildlife Refuge. People are concerned about that. We are very, very early in this. So we haven't had a study yet on what the impacts would be on the refuge. And there are a lot of other questions. And people are raising them, but it's largely uninhabited, but it'll go right near Aravaca and down to Sasebo.
Going back to Tucson politics and the situation with Tucson City Councilman Cunningham, Dylan Smith, Mr. Cunningham spoke to one reporter. Well, actually, he spoke also on the John C. Scott show. So he spoke to you, Dylan Smith, and to John C. Scott, and admitted in both of those interviews that he has a problem, a drinking problem, and he is getting help for it. He pretty much read, I guess, a statement at the council meeting on Tuesday and referred people to Dylan Smith and the TucsonSentinel.com. Got a little free publicity there, Dylan.
Well, that's always good.
What do you make?
I would hope it would come out of a better situation, but, you know.
Well, what do you make of the situation? Where do you think this is going?
Politically, it looks like Paul Cunningham has survived the initial furor that broke out over the incident. You know, long term, he might face a little bit of a problem from that, and you know, certainly he's got some personal problems that he needs to deal with, and I certainly hope he gets that taken care of.
Well, we'll see how that plays out, and we do want, Dan, there was another issue that I wanted to bring up down in Green Valley, a big scam and fraud problem.
Well, and that's been ongoing because of the older population. These people are targeted by phone, by mail, by people who are knocking on their doors, and finally the Pima County Sheriff's Department is doing something about it down in our area. The Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers have started the Scam Squad, and they are, and we wrote a story on it a couple days ago, and they've been inundated with people who are wondering what are these phone calls I'm getting, what are these things I'm getting in the mail. They're very confusing. We just had a case where a couple from Sahuarita were ripped off of $2,400 just a couple days ago. So this is prevalent down there. This is step one in helping us protect these people and to fight back.
Well, the elderly certainly are always targets, or easy targets for the scammers, aren't they?
They are, and some of the saddest stories out of Green Valley that I have heard involve someone who's being scammed or frauded. And remember, a lot of people are down there, and their children are not with them. They retired down there. The kids live out of state or up in Phoenix or something, and they're targeted. They don't know what to do. They get a phone call from someone who this is a very common one, says that they're their grandson, and maybe they don't talk to the grandson very often, so they're fooled, and the grandson says, hey, I need some money, and they want to help, and so they really don't know who to call or where to go, and there's a sense of urgency there. They are ripped off. This happens every day down there.
Coming up now on 1248, this is the Buckmaster Show, the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Dylan Smith is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dylan is the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, and Dylan had a big exclusive last week here in the Tucson area when Mr. Cunningham, the city councilman, agreed to talk really with Dylan first about his situation and his problems. And we have Dan Scheer with us from the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun. Gentlemen, I see that whenever the economy starts to get a little better, there's talk of legislature giving themselves a pay raise. Dylan, do you think that this group will be a little more, it'll be easier this time around?
It's always a pretty tough sell. I mean, the idea that you get what you pay for is certainly true, and we don't pay legislators very much at all. You know, what do they make?
$24,000
a year. That's, you know, it's hard to get somebody to work at what is, for a good chunk of the year, a full-time job. It's not, you know, all year long, but, you know, there are periods when the legislature's in session where that really is a full-time job, and it's pretty hard to hold down any other sort of normal job if you're doing that.
This would be, Dan Scheer, a 12, I believe about a $12,000 increase,
right,
for the legislators.
It's been rejected, what, 15 times, I think, by voters.
Yep.
No. $12,000 isn't going to get us any better people up in the legislature right now. You do get
probably
a certain
not.
Yeah, you do get a certain type of person because of just the demands of the job. This is not a 100-day-a-year job. This is 12 months out of the year. It is a very tough job. We don't pay them very much. Of course, they get the per diem, and a lot of them bank, you know, a lot of that. But, you know, no, I don't say $24,000. I say give them a whole heck of a lot more. And I know that's very unpopular, but it's the only way we're going to get some people in there who are not lunkheads.
We essentially face the same issue with the city council. We don't pay those people very much either.
Right, yeah,
that
I know.
That makes it very tough to, find people who are willing to run for that job.
Well, and narrow it down a little bit, even the mayor's job, like it's still considered part-time in Sahuarita, where we are, and that is, that's a full-time job.
Okay. Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Thank you, gentlemen, and both of you have a great weekend.
Thanks.
You guys as well.
Thanks a lot. We continue with the Buckmaster Show. Weekend Watch is still to come. Stay with us.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
And that music signals the weekend. And if you're looking for a cool weekend getaway, we want you to consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. The fire in the Gila Wilderness area is not impacting Silver City, where the air quality is still good and the mile-high elevation makes for mild days and cool nights. The area has great accommodations, including my personal favorite, the charming Bear Mountain Lodge. Check out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at silvercity.org. There's also a live link at buckmastershow.com. And now we bring in the Weekend Watch culinary cruiser himself, Matt Russell, and Silver City in that mile-high elevation. Matt, looking pretty good this weekend, isn't it?
I'd say so. I mean, last time I was on your show, Bill, I was in Pine Top. What a difference in temperature a 3.5-hour drive makes. My word.
I tell you, good time to get away and head for the high country. What's going on this weekend? Anybody that likes kind of Spanish-oriented food, you usually think of kind of the signature dish, the paella.
Oh, we've got you covered, Bill. You know, our good friend Albert Hall over at Acacia Real Food and Cocktails has created a series of daily culinary events that's going to last all summer long, and every Friday he's going to be featuring this authentic Spanish paella in a portion big enough for two, along with two glasses of red or white sangria for only $30, Bill.
Ooh.
Now, Chef Albert is one of only a few people in town that I think have mastered the art of paella with this wonderful saffron, rice, seafood, roasted meats. So you have to get over there tonight to give it a try. It's paella for two at Acacia every Friday all summer long.
And did you mention that there were some wine availability, too?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah, well, I think Albert Hall's wine list is one of the best in town. But for the paella night, you've got a choice of red or white sangria to pair with that.
Oh, all right. How about some garlic?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this event on your show last year, Bill, and it's no surprise when we learned that more than 1,000 people turned out. Obviously, all listeners of the Buckmaster Show, it's the annual Garlic and Onion Festival out at the Agua Linda Farms down in Amado, straight down I-19. It's going on all weekend long, and you're going to encounter 3 full acres of Spanish garlic and Vidalia onions to choose from. You can harvest them yourself or take it with you and enjoy right there. They're going to have their grill open, serving up onion burgers and onion rings and garlic wraps, live bluegrass music, moonlight hayrides. I can just smell it now, can't you, Bill?
Oh, I can smell it. You know, I'd love a little bit of that nicely done onion on a burger. That would really go right now very well as I'm kind of hungry at this lunch hour. What about Tucson Originals? They've been preparing and serving up some wonderful specials this summer.
Yeah, every summer the local restaurant members of the Originals feature incredible deals on their menus for only $20. And, Bill, today it's all about the cheesesteak. Now, Frankie Santos, the Frankie's South Philly Cheesesteaks over on North Campbell, is going to be serving up 2 9-inch cheesesteaks, a large order of fries, and 2 small sodas, all for only $20. Now, Frankie is originally from South Philly himself. He's a great culinary, iconic personality in this community, so these are about as authentic as you can get. So swing by Frankie's for this great summer cheesesteak special and check out TucsonOriginals.com for all the other great deals among all of these wonderful local independent restaurants in Tucson.
Matt, we kicked off the Buckmaster Show this Friday with a Friday Focus interview with one of your favorite people. Chef Janos Wilder was our Friday Focus guest here on Buckmaster, talking about the resurgence of downtown Tucson. Really, this renaissance, Matt Russell, being led by the restaurateurs.
Indeed, and Janos is a pioneer. He helped to put the culinary Tucson on the culinary map, really internationally. And his rededication to the promise of downtown by the manifestation of downtown kitchen and cocktails, he's as much a part of that success as the whole movement is. My hat is off to him.
Matt Russell, have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks. The Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show made possible in part by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. More at SplendidoTucson.com. And of course, bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, generously supplied by Culligan. They offer the best drinking water and largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home and business. What's so special about Culligan? I'll tell you, it tastes better. The Buckmaster Show also brought to you by Flowers Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. See you Monday.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.